This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We welcome you into another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM here from our Circa Sportsbook studios in downtown Las Vegas, your home for all NFL betting analysis 7 days a week here on the show. And it's your Tuesday crew today with the former NFL wide receiver, Mike Pritchard. I'm Ben Wilson. Big thanks to our producer as well, Brian Ortega, behind the glass. We're 3 weeks in, Mike. Where'd the time go? I mean,
man, I tell you, you wait all year for football to get here, and all of a sudden, we're week four. I mean, it just flies by, but that's what happens when you're having fun, though, Ben Wilson. We're having a blast so far with the NFL season.
Trying to cash some tickets in the process as well.
Absolutely, absolutely, and having a blast doing that. So, let's look for some more opportunities, man. All about making some money.
Absolutely. We can look first at what happened last night, as we usually do to start the show. Look back at what happened in Monday Night Football. It was the first time we'd seen all year, as we get into week three, the general narrative of, oh, what's going on with these football games? Why aren't we getting constant 60-minute excitement between in Denver Sunday night and then at MetLife Stadium last night? However, very interesting to see the way this game plays out at the end. Dallas wins over the Giants 23-16. Both of these teams now 2-1 in the NFC East. I guess we're not sending Brian Daboll to Canton anymore there, Mike. But in a game like this that had a little bit of everything, goes back and forth, Cooper Rush picks up the win. His third win now in his career as an underdog while filling in for Dak Prescott. This game, though, tell you more about Dallas or New York last night?
You know what? I think more about New York. New York, we knew, a lot of people did anyway, that they're a work in progress. Daboll needs to find out what he has with that roster, with certain players too, and what is he building. Certainly he's building a championship type of situation out there with that franchise. Far from it right now. Doesn't have a quarterback, right? And he's trying to explore and find out what the quarterback's capable of, as well as other players on that roster too. So the effort has been overachieving for the Giants. And so I think we found out a lot about that. We also found out how difficult it is to be a rookie head coach at times too. You know, you get caught up in emotions, you lose track of a game when you should call timeouts because you're overwhelmed with emotions. We can get into all that. But yeah, certainly it's a learning curve for Daboll, which he'll learn and capture. Finding out about Dallas, I don't know if we found out more about Dallas. Dallas has a legitimate roster. It's just the quarterback situation and how do you rate the quarterback change from a betting standpoint. So Cooper Rush played solid game. I think the coaches helped both quarterbacks to be efficient, highly efficient. But then you had to do some things in the second half to win the game. And some teams can do that and some teams can't right now, Ben.
And you think about for the Giants and you're talking about overachieving your last point, where if you looked at through the first 2 weeks, I like to look at just quality of drives for these teams. And because it's something that isn't necessarily measured by final numbers or total box scores. But if you go through the play-by-play game logs and you look at, for these teams, if you quantify a quality drive as just a drive that at least gets you in field goal range, starting at your own side of 50, even let's say if you have a turnover in the red zone or you give it away, you miss a field goal, that's still a quality drive. You're at least putting yourself in position to get points. Through two games, the Giants had 21 drives. Mm-hmm. Only six would really qualify as quality drives through the first 2 weeks. Only one other team had fewer, and right. That would have been with only four, the Seattle Seahawks through 2 weeks, a team we're going to talk about a little bit later. So this was a Giant team that, just based on the general quality of their drives, was clearly doing it on smoke and mirrors. I just wonder why, in a game last night where Saquon Barkley was getting pretty much anything he wanted, nearly 6 yards a carry, only touches it 14 times as a runner. They got him involved out of the backfield mm-hmm. as a passer as well. But if you're Brian Daboll in a matchup like this with such a tough, experienced, really, really proactive defensive line rush coming at you on the other side of Dallas, why was the pass rate north of 60% last night for the Giants? That's my question.
Well, a lot of it too, Ben, and it's a great question too, because I mean, I think you get out of your game plan at some point. I think the Giants obviously skewed it in the second half and right before halftime. When you get in situational football and you got to move the ball, you got to get in 2-minute offense. So you skew it because you're throwing it on every down. And then you get into the second half, you're down. And you certainly got to move the ball and get into the end zone. You think the quickest way to do that, a lot of times, at least coordinators do, is to throw it. But you're down one possession. To your point, there's nothing wrong with running the football still, especially if you're getting chunk yards and chunk plays. And the extension of the running game is the screen game. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And Saquon Barkley is exceptional with the screen game. Now, I will say the timing of it, because they had illegal players downfield, illegal linemen downfield and stuff like that, maybe they're uncomfortable and the trust factor isn't where it needs to be, so they don't call it as much. And that's one thing for bettors to understand, is coordinators, they call plays when they trust them. Like, it's fascinating. A play would work, or you think it would work, or they should get to this, they should get to that, but they don't trust it because they didn't see it in practice, or they just don't know if the team can execute it, or it just didn't look right in practice, right? Ooh, and so they don't call it. But I think if you can get beyond that, and then understand and anticipate and certainly trust the players to be able to execute the plays, then a lot of times you can get to those type of plays that we all see right. when we're watching these games right now.
And what's hard too, you think about trusting in your personnel and the players you have.
Right.
The wide receiver room has taken a big hit. Sterling mm-hmm. Shepard, non-contact injury towards the very end of that game in the final minutes. Initial reports and testing fear to be a serious left knee injury there for Sterling Shepard. Feared to be missing significant time. A guy who got 10 targets last night. Saquon Barkley had the second most targets on that team. They're running back for the Giants. And then you add in the Kenny Golladay piece, and I bring this up to you as a former wide receiver. Golladay, 0 catches on 3 targets, had a drop on a pass that would have been a wide open, mm-hmm. like wide open gain and a first down there. Only saw the field for 2 snaps in week 2, went to the media complaining about his role in New York. What do you do if you're the Giants and you have this big old cap hit, big old salary number sitting on your books right now, and you're getting nothing out of it with Golladay?
One, you realize you overpaid, or the prior regime yeah, overpaid, because as a receiver, don't do that. Don't go to the media with your gripes. Just go upstairs, you know, or talk to the coaches. Talk to your position coach and really start to lobby that way. I don't know if it's a pro tip or not, but we can save it, but it's about the prop situations and understanding when a coordinator trusts and which players to trust.
That's great.
We should do that because I think it's extraordinary, because you think about the props for Saquon Barkley in that game, they go over, right? Daniel Jones, I believe, goes under his passing yards prop.
But he stayed under 199 and a half.
He just
barely. Under 196 was his final.
But they don't
yards.
Trust him, though. I mean, what we saw in the second half was Boise State versus Texas Tech. I mean, that's basically what we saw from a play selection standpoint. And if you were in tune with that, you could have made some money for sure from an in-game perspective. But I think as we watch these games, Ben, and we see teams try to adjust it again, I always keep this question in my head. What do they want to do versus what can they do? And the Giants, they can't do a lot of things. You mentioned a wide receiving core. Golladay, I mean, he's overpaid. I don't know what the Giants are going to do with him. Maybe they can trade him. There's a lot of teams that could use a wide receiver right now. Maybe they could trade him. Who knows? But I don't know how he gets in line with what the Giants are doing right now. What do you have? 3 targets, I want to say.
3.
And he's making how much money?
I mean, 14.5 mil.
Right. I mean, that's incredible to think about right now. But maybe he can talk to the coaches and the coaches. And so you can look for that, those signs too. And I think the insiders for the Giants or for any franchise can give you that type of information.
Right. you think about for next week, you look ahead for both of these teams. Giants host the Bears, maybe the two most fraudulent 2-1 teams we have ever had. That's not hyperbole either. It's been pretty ugly starts, especially for the Chicago side. Giants are laying 3.5 as that line opens now. Open Giants -3 up to 3.5, total of 39. Meanwhile, on the Dallas front, you talk about what you want to do versus what you can do. Mm-hmm. They realized, the Dallas Cowboys did last night, that getting the usage of both running backs, Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, clearly the key to success there. Those two combined 28 carries last night. At over 175 yards, finished for 178 combined. So the question becomes, looking forward now for Dallas, who are a 3-point favorite against Washington, mm-hmm. the Commanders next week, total there of 42.5. With Cooper Rush still at quarterback, and the belief is Dak Prescott could maybe come back for week 5, but it's going to be one more week at least of Cooper Rush. How much do you trust a Dallas team that is pretty clearly one-dimensional, but still effective in that one dimension?
Yeah, can you trust the Cowboys a little bit more at home, -3.5 right now? I mean, that's kind of difficult. But here's what I know about the situation with the Cowboys in this division. When you have a distinct advantage in confidence over your opponent, it plays out. And it played out last night. And what the Cowboys were doing and how relaxed Cooper Rush was and how they didn't panic. I mean, CeeDee Lamb drops a pass, and you're getting thumbs up from Kellen Moore. But when you're 9-1 going into that game against the Giants, so from an entire roster standpoint, you are so confident that, oh, we're going to do enough to win that game. And they did enough to win the game. Was it a perfect game? No, they made a lot of mistakes. But against the Commanders, too, think about the dominance over the last 5 years. It's been 7-3 mm-hmm. in the last 10 games right there. So there's a distinct advantage for the Cowboys, knowing that they're extremely confident against these divisional opponents. And so you give the edge to the Cowboys that way. But again, it's, you got a little bit more, in my opinion, you know, to lay 3.5, though.
And right where we're seeing now, most of the books still at 3, but they are juice 3s, up to -115 okay. or -20 if you want to okay. play Dallas. A couple of books, as we're talking about, have gone now to the full 3.5 with that 42.5 total. The big question will be on the other side of the ball, where it's a Micah Parsons-led defense that has gotten after, so far, the three quarterbacks they've faced so far and have really limited Tom Brady, Andy Dalton, and what we saw last night from Daniel Jones, under 200 passing yards there for Jones. And now you face Carson Wentz, a guy who just took 9 sacks, was hit 17 times yeah. in that loss to Philadelphia. I fully admit, I was on the Commanders, thought it was a great spot. They get their doors blown in. So that, to me, is the bigger matchup, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Carson Wentz, he is who we thought he was. And I don't know if that's ever going to change. It's not going to change. And for the Commanders to think it was going to change, is that's on them. The Cowboys' defense is sick right now. And I don't know how Carson Wentz goes up against that defense and how that ends well for the Commanders.
I don't know either. Dennis Green was right when he said that all those years ago, and it still applies in so many situations going forward.
Does.
We will talk next, as we're just getting started on an action-packed Lombardi line. Josh Applebaum joining us, Will Hill joining us later on in the show. But up next, we'll talk about some of the biggest injuries in the NFL, including a trio in L.A., and try to get Mike's thoughts on what were the Chargers doing Sunday. We'll talk about that next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Ben Wilson. It is our Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line, in for Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi. Patrick back on Thursday, Michael back tomorrow. For right now, though, Mike, we're going to look at some of the big injuries from week three in the NFL. And I need to start in Los Angeles, and I need you to help me figure out, what were the Chargers doing exactly on Sunday? That's just where we'll begin, in a 38-10 loss, where the Chargers end up with a quarterback dealing with a pretty serious rib injury, able to play through it. It's week three of an 18-week season, and Justin Herbert ends up dropping back 47 times out of his team's 72 snaps, which was the highest pass percentage of any team in the NFL in week three, despite losing his left tackle, Rashawn Slater, early in that game, torn biceps, likely out for the year, despite having his center, Corey Linsley, one of the better centers by overall grading systems, out in this game to begin with, yet he plays the full game and continuously drops back just about every single time. Mike, can you help me explain what the thought process was for Brandon Staley in that week three loss?
Well, Staley said that Justin Herbert wanted to stay in there and play. But as a head coach, again, you have to have the authority. That's your franchise. I know he wants to stay in there and to play. I know he's a warrior, but I need to make the decision. I need to do what's best for the team, not what's best for Justin Herbert and what he wants right now. I need to get him out of there. But you have a head coach that doesn't understand that yet. You have a head coach that doesn't operate that way. You know, it's I want these guys to like me type of head coach. No, get him out of there. Seriously, coach, if you don't want to do it as a head coach, tell your position coach, say a quarterback coach, tell Justin he's out, and then have him get mad at you, and then we'll talk about this, right? I mean, there's ways you can do something from a chain of command standpoint, if you will. But if you're not thinking about that, if you're thinking about your defense too much, then okay, how are you functioning as a head coach? He should have had him out of there. You're right. But as players, we always want to play. I mean, that's what we're built to do, is play.
And that's the whole point, too. It's why I brought it up with you specifically, because while most of us general fans can sit back and say, dude has a rib injury, it's a long season, why throw him out there? How different is your perspective, though, thinking about how you played for a decade and played through a lot of injuries throughout
your absolutely.
Time?
I mean, I lacerated my kidney in practice, and I'm in ICU. And the doctor says, hey, good news, we don't have to take your kidney, you know, we don't have to remove your kidney situation. I'm like, okay, good, when can I play again? when can I get back out there? You're like, wait,
sure,
you're
they looked
in
at
ICU.
You like you were like an alien.
I'm in ICU. No, you know, you're not playing this year. Hopefully you can play again, but you know, you're not playing this year. But no, we're just built that way. And there's no, it's no different about Justin Herbert. We can commend him for being a warrior, but no, it's the head coach and the responsibility of the head coach for the team to say, you know what, get him out of there. What we're doing right now is not working today, and we're getting banged up. And so, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of times you look at the roster, you just don't have the room. Like with offensive linemen, you only have seven active at times, right? And so you run out of options. Wide receivers for the Chargers, they're thin there. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate that Guyton got hurt, but, I mean, you're so thin there.
And that's the other element to this. It's one thing to say, all right, I'm going to let my franchise quarterback tough it out. He wants to make a point. Brandon Staley, the head coach, said after the game that his Charger QB wanted to put himself before the team. That's one thing. I understand that. But when you're down 38-10 and you still have one of your most valuable wide receivers in Jalen Guyton running routes deep down the field when Keenan Allen, your top wide receiver, was already out to begin with, Guyton tears his ACL, down 38-10. Isn't that probably the more egregious error that Staley made if we're looking at all these decisions in week three?
Well, yeah, but I'll pull back the curtain and, you know, a lot of times, and again, I think it is on Staley a lot with coaching decisions, but, you know, a lot of times as players, you know, you're a commodity. You are expendable because they'll just go find another one. They have workouts today, by the way, and facilities across the board in the National Football League. It's the players' off day. they're bringing in players to replace you right now. So it's unfortunate for Guyton to tear his ACL that way, but as the league and as the business of football moves on, they're looking for another receiver right now, or they might looking for a trade with Galladay, right? I mean, you think about certain teams.
Cutthroat, man.
It is cutthroat. It very much is cutthroat, and you understand that as a player, but when you're talking about your franchise, you're talking about your left tackle going down, you know he's got rib situation on his left side. Why is he in there? And that's clearly on the head coach right there in that decision.
And we're seeing the betting market sour a little bit. The full rundown here on your screen of all the NFL injuries coming out yesterday, and we'll get into some of the big ones and how it impacts the week four lines coming up. But for the Chargers specifically, they open about a 6.5 point favorite in some books on the road against Houston, a team they were favored by 9.5 at last year and got the doors blown off in one of the more bizarre results of the 2021 season. How much can you trust the Chargers given the barrage of injuries here? We didn't even mention Joey Bosa, who goes out with a groin injury, firmly questionable for this week. In a spot like this on the road, even if it is a team like Houston who comes in underwhelming at 0-2-1 so far.
Yeah, underwhelming, but what do we know about Houston and Davis Mills? He plays well against opponents that he's familiar with. And you go back to last year, what was the score? 41-29. Right there, right, for the Chargers. And it's interesting when you look at that game and you look at that situation, you know, Davis Mills and being familiar at home, being more confident, who knows? But the Chargers are not the same team. They're just not what we thought they were going to be in terms of the anticipation of the year. And now you factor in all these injuries. So they have skewed the passing game. They're not balanced at all. I don't know if they can be, because if you think about the last 2 years, they have not been able to run the ball consistently. And so they rely on the pass. And now they're thin at wide receiver, and certainly they're injured in key positions on that offense.
And that's why we were talking about pass rate being the highest one in the NFL, despite playing with a compromised quarterback. Mm-hmm. See how that betting market starts to change. Fives, even some 4.5 starting to show there on that Chargers-Texan game for week four. Another team incredibly banged up with injuries, and this was even in game on Sunday, was the Buffalo Bills. Mike, at one point, 14 of their 22 starters were either out pregame or were injured during the game, yet they still completely dominate the box score. They run 90 plays to Miami's 39. To put that in perspective, the NFL record, Washington Redskins back in the early 90s in a game against Detroit ran nearly 120 plays. That is the NFL record for most plays run in a game. Buffalo ran 90, and they lost by 2, yet 14 different guys injured, and the latest were Christian Benford, who was a cornerback replacing an already thin secondary, breaks his hand in that game. Tommy Doyle, one of the offensive linemen, suffers an ACL injury. He's out for the season. How do you evaluate this Buffalo team with all the injuries?
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, are you a pattern guy? Like, do you understand that human nature kind of repeats itself? Or we're a pattern, we're setting patterns.
No question.
We're setting our ways, that kind of things, or what we're most comfortable with, that's what we kind of duplicate and repeat. If you look at Buffalo, and Patrick Maher brought this up yesterday on the Lombardi line in terms of one possession games, Buffalo struggles.
Go back 0-7 now, going back to the start of last year.
Right, going back to, so when they are bullying and certainly beating up an opponent, they're highly comfortable and they play that way. They're very confident. And but when they're in tight games, it's a struggle, you know. And so you have Josh Allen fumbling a snap right before halftime in a panicky situation. You have Gabe Davis dropping a touchdown that could have helped. Or you had Josh Allen pulling a string on a pass to McKenzie that could have perhaps won the game, right? Or Milano dropping an interception. So I don't know if that's a pattern for Buffalo. It seems like it could be. We could say that it's a trend even. So in a tight ball game, I think Buffalo is vulnerable. And certainly teams are going to try to use that. They're going to say, look, let's get this game to the fourth quarter. Let's stay in it. However, we need to stay in it. So all those stats and all those plays that Buffalo ran, it didn't really do anything for them in terms of the victory.
Is it as simple as just you just need to win a close game and it gets you over the hump? Or is it a deeper thing from your experience?
I think it's deeper because it's human nature. Like Jacksonville on the road. I mean, how do you lose that game, right? And I think McDermott didn't go for a field goal. I think it's patterns, like going for the field goal and as opposed to going for it early in that game when you're like, wait a minute, I got this offense. I got that quarterback. I'm 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-4. I'm not kicking a field goal. I'm going for it. But can he break a pattern like that? Or we call it tendencies in the league. And I think a lot of times teams have a way to play towards their tendencies. And therefore, as an opponent, you can exploit that.
That's a great point. I also look at it in a way on the opposite side where you think, okay, 14 of your 22 starters at one point were out. You became just the fourth team ever to lose a game when you outgained your opponent by over 250 yards.
Right.
This was such a box score anomaly, and you dominated the box score despite so many key players being out. I have to look at that as only a positive for Buffalo, with the intrinsic belief that at some point, the variance of losing all these one-score games, 0-7 now going back to the start of last year, is due to turn around at some point. That's my thought.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the other side, how many times can Miami keep coming back?
It's the last time that it happened. The team losing when outgaining an opponent over 250 yards. Buffalo Bills lost to Miami in 2016. So there is a history there as well. We'll talk some Coach of the Year odds when we return here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily Picks at a Glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video, season prep, including our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips, which we're about to give you one, updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Back with the former NFL wide receiver Mike Pritchard, I'm Ben Wilson, our VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour, which you supplied for us. Look at you doing the heavy lifting. I'm just sitting back here like, all right, Mike's got our pro tip. So when betting player props specifically, you want to be looking at how much do coaches trust their specific players and how that factors into the scheme. That can be a really telling indicator for looking at these different player props. You can look at usage in pass box scores and how that then equates into some of these full game situations. Last night, a great example was with Daniel Jones, whereas you were talking about as we opened the show, Mike, clearly a lack of trust in him to throw the football. He almost outgained Saquon Barkley, by the way, rushing the ball. It's 9 carries for 79 yards for Daniel Jones. So his passing prop, even though it was already significantly reduced, he still goes under that prop last night. And there was a clear lack of trust. And most of those yards, should be pointed out, were in comeback mode. Still only gets to 196. So that's our pro tip. Every pro tip searchable on vsin.com by show and by sport. And way to go, Mike. Look at you.
Well, you're welcome.
With the pro tip. No, I can just sit back and enjoy my lovely Tuesday show as a spectator.
It's fascinating because, you know, exploring the prop market, even doing various shows here on VSiN and, you know, jumping on. And what props do you like, Pritch? What are you looking at? And, you know, I'm not a heavy prop player, but as an offensive player, I know that during the week of practice, you have to audition to the coaches that are calling plays that you can do the right thing in the play. And therefore, they'll call it in a game. Like, just take a Mike Holmgren, for instance. If you mess up on a play that's specific to you, he ain't going to call it because you can't do it in practice. Like, how are you going to do it in a game? And so the whole thing is about establishing and earning trust. And I think that's so telling right now through the first 3 weeks of the season, what play callers trust which players and which players are trusting the coaches and all that right now. I mean, to me, it's all over the place.
No question. Mm-hmm. It leads to into an interesting Coach of the Year discussion where Brian Daboll, clearly not a lot of trust in his quarterback at the moment in Daniel Jones, but he's off to a 2-1 start. He is among the leaders in the Coach of the Year odds board right now. But there was a pretty sizable shift after week 3 at BetMGM. And as we always preface in these discussions, a lot of that has to do with the different amounts of handle coming in, the types of money that are bet on in these markets. Usually it doesn't take as much money to move a number like these as opposed to, say, an every single week NFL game where there's going to be so much action taken. So, you know, a smaller bet can sometimes drastically alter these markets. With that out of the way, though, Mike, as we look at the updated odds to win Coach of the Year, we saw Nick Sirianni, a coach who, should be pointed out, led his team to the playoffs last year.
Right.
And presumably, based on the history of these awards, would have to do a whole lot to win that award this year. Yet he goes from 9-1 after last week down to 4-1. Now your leader in the clubhouse to win this award after 3 weeks of play for beating Washington, a team he was favored by nearly a touchdown to do. What am I missing here with the change in Sirianni, where Mike McDaniel, who was 5-1 last week, ho-hum, starts his career by beating Belichick, Harbaugh, and the Josh Allen-led Buffalo Bills his first three games. His odds don't even move. Still 5-1. That, to me, is lunacy right now.
It is. Overreaction, I would say. I mean, aren't the Eagles like a favorite in a lot of markets? Whether it's a divisional favorite, certainly.
Over $2 favorites, sure. Too, in the NFC East.
Now. NFC East now. There you go. But why is Nick Sirianni at plus 400 and another favorite, John Harbaugh, who's at 25-1? Why is that? Like, what's the narrative? Like, because it's about a narrative, I think, for Coach of the Year.
I guess you have to ask the question, what would Philadelphia have to do in the regular season? Would 14-3, would that be overachieving enough to get you to the point to win that award? But the point is, the bar is really high for them.
Right. But then also the narrative too, like, what did they beat Washington so far? I mean, winning the NFC East, if they could do that, I don't know if that's a strong enough narrative compared to, I don't know, John Harbaugh at 25-1 and helping Lamar Jackson reinvent himself as a pocket passer now, who could win the MVP. But you do have situations there. You have Jalen Hurts off to a great start. Who knows if he wins the MVP or not. But then you have Lamar Jackson right there too, though, right, for what he's doing. So from a batting standpoint, 25-1 looks appealing that way. But with these narratives, you just don't know. I was on Zach Taylor midway through the year last year. But Vrabel won because he did more with less, as opposed to Zach Taylor, who was on the hot seat. They go to this, you know, they're on their way and tracking to the playoffs, right? And I don't know, with a young quarterback and young roster. So I thought the narratives are very interesting. And so when I look down at this list, like, who's going to capture a narrative with the voters and hold on to it? You know, I don't know what narrative exists for John Harbaugh. Can you find one? Can you think of one right now? Or
I don't think there's much.
Yeah.
Unless it's just overcoming. If the injuries continue to pile up for Baltimore and they somehow navigate a very difficult division and go, say, 13-4, maybe you could make a case. But that's not of the sexier variety of storyline here. It's more, what did a coach do with a team that was projected to either be a team that missed the playoffs or was projected, based on the roster personnel, to not amount to much of anything? It's why it's hard for me to look at Sirianni where he's at and say that number correlates with where that general narrative should be. And we say again, these are so hard to handicap because A, it's media driven, and that's what the voters are, literally coming from the media. And then B, this is a regular season only award. So nothing applies there for the playoffs.
Here's one for you, though, with Baltimore. They're the number one scoring team in the league at 33 points a game. Say they keep that and it's elevated and it's 35 points a game or something like that. I mean, there's something that I think would capture the attention of the voters, certainly for MVP with Lamar Jackson, but they now have a left tackle. They have an aging roster, and everybody knows that. They have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe there's a narrative that can billow up. I mean, something could happen there, right? But for to bet plus 400 on Nick Sirianni, when he's a favorite, kind of like with Harbaugh, to me, the money or the bang for my money there is 25-1 on Harbaugh.
Right. And part of it, too, for the narratives, you're also kind of figuring out, okay, you know what the narrative is, and it exists, but also, do you really believe in that specific team?
Right.
So you look at some of these numbers that have moved drastically. Kevin O'Connell now down to 9-1 for Minnesota, and you have to ask yourself, how much do you really believe in Minnesota? They looked amazing for basically three quarters against Green Bay in week one, fell flat on their face on Monday night against Philadelphia last week, and it took a massive collapse by Detroit to get them to 2-1 in week three. Do you believe in Brian Daboll, a team who was a pretty soft 2-0 and were exposed in a lot of areas last night? His odds have shortened now down to 8-1. Doug Peterson is the one, depending on your view of Jacksonville, that might be the one that's the most intriguing at this point. And Peterson, he goes from 8-1 to 11-1. He was 11-1, goes down to 8-1. So if you're looking at Peterson, the narrative is obviously there. Yeah. Takes over the biggest dumpster fire in the league from a season ago. Urban Meyer, arguably the biggest disaster of a one-year head coach we've probably had in the NFL since Bobby Petrino.
Right. On this,
and you think about how, if you're a believer in Jacksonville, that would make a lot of sense. The question is, do you believe?
Well, on this list of all these coaches, Coach of the Year, Doug Peterson is the circa building sign in the skyline here in Vegas. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. That's him right there. But plus 800, absolutely. I mean, it's tremendous what he's done already with this roster. And you know what, Ben? They're going to get better. They have a generational talent at quarterback, and they've drafted very, very well. And they're playing hard. That's a young team, too. And it's a young men's game. Whether people understand it or not, it's a young man's game. We just saw the Bengals, 25 years and younger, get to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's a young man's game. Nature of injuries, all that stuff, right? But if Peterson can keep coaching these players like this and they keep growing and they keep getting better in a get-better league, it's circa right there for Doug Peterson.
So he's now third on the list from 11-1 down to 8-1. And O'Connell, he was 9-1 last week, now falling down to 14-1. Dable was 8-1 last week, now 10-1. And here's the game this week that will tell us a lot. Jacksonville goes to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson's former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, is about a 6.5-point favorite. Eagles flying high. It was a spot that was really suboptimal for Philadelphia last week, coming off an emotional Monday night blowout win, going on the road in the division on a short week, and yet they couldn't have looked much better.
Right.
So don't you think this game will tell us a lot realistically about Jacksonville compared to beating up on a Charger team that was so woefully inept because of all their injuries going on?
Yeah, because I think Jacksonville will understand the offense of Philadelphia and the Eagles and what they're trying to do with the six eligibles, because they kind of have that. And those players will understand the college nature of this offense. Now, defensively, it's a different animal, though. I mean, what the Eagles are doing defensively is incredible. Now, can there be a letdown? I think when you expect to win, like Jacksonville, their mindset expects to win, the letdowns don't have to. Now, in college, they're more often a have to, because we're talking about kids and maturity, right? But if Peterson is doing his job, I don't think Jacksonville has a letdown in this game.
My only concern, quarterbacks Jacksonville's played so far, Carson Wentz, a compromised Justin Herbert, and then Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Now you go to face Jalen Hurts on the road. It's a tough ask. Not a game I want any part of, at least as of right now. I know Will Hill, who joins us next, he's got a bunch of games he does want a part of. We'll get Will's thoughts on the Week 4 card right after this.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences on Sunday. You can place a $25 one-game parlay on any Major League Baseball game, and you'll receive a $10 free bet that you can use on any sport, regardless of your bet's outcome. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get a $10 free bet to use on any sport when you place a $25 one-game parlay on any MLB game. Turn game time into showtime with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expired 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We're back on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben. He's Pritch. We've got Will Hill with us on the line now. Will, who did a great job last week on our VSiN Megapod with Gil Alexander, Jeff Parles, and Todd Wishnev, one of the more popular shows, Mike, we have in the sports betting space. And Will killed it as the guest there. Joins us now from New York, where it's an interesting time there. Will, A, we're on Aaron Judge watch continuously now to hit his 61st home run. And then B, we were maybe expecting the New York Post headlines to be Giants 3-0, Dable to Canton, Ohio. And then last night happened. So I don't know what the feeling is around the Giants, Will, but kind of a flat result there last night for the G-men against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the parade was canceled. You know, it was fun while it lasted, but this Giant team obviously still has some flaws. And maybe once Judge is done with his baseball season, you can give him some pads and line him up at wide receiver, because the Giants are gonna need it, man. I don't know if anybody ever heard of some of those guys the Giants were throwing to last night. That's a rough bunch. Pritch, I don't know if you have any eligibility left. I think still 6 catches for 70 yards. Yeah. You might be able to do it. They're paying these receivers pretty good money right now. Maybe suit them up. Maybe go do some wind sprints in the back of the Circa, the South Point there, and see what you got left, because it was ugly last night for the Giants. But a winnable game this week for the Bears. A pretty easy schedule going forward, but still obviously a pretty flawed team.
Will, I don't need eligibility. All they need to do is offer me a contract.
There you go.
So
that's the spirit.
I tell you what, if Brady can do it at 45, I can do it at 52. I got about 5 plays in me, and that's all they need right now. My question about the Giants to you, Will, though, moving forward, what are they going to do with Daniel Jones? Are they gonna start trusting this guy and this player? Or are they going to look to go to Tyrod Taylor or something like that? Because, I mean, you can't expect to go the entire year not trusting your quarterback out there.
Yeah, and I don't think it was all on him. I think he's played worse games than he played last night. I mean, he wasn't getting protected. He's throwing to guys that are falling down, that can't catch the ball, and you know, got a rough offensive pass interference call, I thought, in the second quarter. Yeah. So long-term, is he the guy? Is he the guy 2 years from now? Probably not. But Taylor, barring an injury or just a complete disaster from Jones, I don't think they would go to Taylor. I think Dable likes, you know, the diversity with Jones that he brings to the offense, just be able to, you know, run the ball, throw it deep. I think he brings that extra element. So unless he completely implodes, I would think Jones is still the quarterback. But look, 2-3 years from now, is he still the quarterback? Probably not. I think their quarterback is probably playing on Saturdays.
And what a game we have for week 4. 2-1 Bears, 2-1 Giants.
Somebody's going to be 3-1.
Could that maybe be a tie 2-1-1? I don't know. You're probably right, Will. Most likely G-men go to 3-1 after this week. Well, you can follow Will, by the way, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. As we get into some of Will's games, you have some early thoughts on here, Will, for week 4. We have our first London game across the pond. Minnesota, a team who has been disappointing the last 2 weeks, even though they were able to scrape out a win from, the inner reaches of wherever against Detroit in that 4-point win. New Orleans Saints, pretty flawed team as well over the past couple of weeks. Some money, though, coming in on New Orleans. We're down to 2.5 pretty much market-wide from a 3-point opener on Minnesota. What's your angle in this spot here for Vikings and Saints?
Yeah, as always, with a 2.5, if you like the dog, just wait. You might get a 3. I think we're starting to see some 3s pop up. I'm just taking Minnesota here based on they're the healthier team. And Kamara's beat up, Michael Thomas is beat up, and Winston's playing with a broken back. Well, that's not a pleasant flight flying from the U.S. to London all those hours when you're sitting there on a plane with a broken back.
Ugh, yeah.
He looks very inaccurate on Sunday. I think the back really affected him. So the Vikings, like you said, they haven't blown anybody away. Cousins hasn't been great. They have issues in the secondary. But to me, they're the much healthier team here, so give me the Vikings.
How about this game, Will? The Bills and the Ravens, we were just talking about Coach of the Year situations, and I made a case for Harbaugh 25-1 because of Lamar Jackson and what he's doing, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, as we know, he's so hard to prepare for as a defense, and we know that the Bills' defense is banged up, right? And a lot of players missing on that side of the ball, but they do have Josh Allen on the other side too. So what do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, if you're going to talk about an award candidate from this game, again, it's early. We're three, four weeks in. Lamar Jackson's probably been the MVP through 3 weeks here. He's played unbelievable. Yeah. And you're getting 3.5 here. I like the Ravens. I think the Bills, like you mentioned, they're all beat up on defense. Cluster injuries in the secondary. They've had issues now finishing drives, really getting stalled out at the goal line a lot in the red zone. And look, they played 90-something snaps, I think 90 snaps in Miami on offense. So we talk about the Miami defense maybe being tired on Thursday. Maybe the Buffalo offense is a little tired this week. 90 snaps in that heat is a lot. I'm surprised they're giving you the hook here with the Ravens. I think it's a good game, a close game. I will take the 3.5 here with Baltimore.
And let's consider as well, Will, if you think about a total in this spot, this thing opened at 55, and it's been hammered
way
down to 52 or 52.5. I don't know. I look at this from the other side and say Baltimore's a defense that's been really banged up as well. They made Mac Jones look very solid for large stretches of that game, even though Jones ends up throwing three interceptions and gets injured late. Give up nearly 30 points to the Patriots, and we saw for as good as Buffalo played without their starters, you figure that's not likely to last, as you were just talking about. I kind of find myself on the other side here of this move to the total, though, but it sounds like you're in agreement with where that opener went from 55 down here to 52.
Yeah, I thought 55 and a half was too high. At 52, it's probably right on the number. It's probably a good number, so. Yeah, I don't think it'll be a play for me.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, I've watched those two secondaries. Sure. I'm like, damn, how are you stopping anybody, especially with these two quarterbacks at play? The other thing, too, we'll get to Thursday Night Football here at the end, Will, with the Dolphins-Bengals matchup. But the other element there in New York was Robert Saleh's New York Jets against the Bengals. I don't know if you saw this, where the we've seen defenses against Joe Burrow and the Bengals play such a high percentage of cover two. And Robert Saleh goes into that game and he's like, nah, man, I'm good. We're gonna play cover two 1% of the time. And they were burned as a result. Jets now go to Pittsburgh, where they're about a 3.5-point dog in this spot. But what's kind of the general thermometer right now on Saleh, who is as adherent to his general principles as you could possibly be? And it obviously bit them in the rear in that loss Sunday.
Yeah, well, he's what? 4-13 his first year. And now he's 1-2. So. Yeah. 5-15 through 20 games, and he's starting to, you know, mouth off, get a little defiant with the press. That's not a good combination. And when you start making comments after the game, like, well, I'm proud of my team because they play hard. Look, man, it's not Little League. This is the NFL. It's New York. That stuff does not last long. The fans don't want to hear it. The Jets have not had a good team, even a decent team, here in like a decade. They don't want to hear that you tried hard or you played hard. They want to see some results. So I think Wilson, Saleh, even though it's year two of that regime, I think both of them are on the clock. If they have another 4 or 5 win season, I don't know that, you know, either or both of those guys are back. When you look at their schedule, they're 1-2. They're favored to lose this week and probably be 1-3. Still got to play the Bills twice. Still have to play the Dolphins twice. New England's not great, but you still have to play them twice. And you're going to Green Bay, Minnesota, and Denver all on the road. This is another 4 or 5 win season here for the Jets.
Will, help me out approaching this game. Short week, certainly when you're looking at the Bengals and the Dolphins. But I will say this, against the spread, home dogs, obviously 60%, away dogs, 60% so far this year. So what do you do with this game? I mean, do you factor in the short week? Do you factor in the number of plays that Buffalo ran against Miami? And do you factor in what you saw last with the Bengals as well?
Yeah, I don't love laying the 3.5. Just in general, I hate laying 3.5, and you're missing the best of the numbers. So maybe if you can get a cheaper money line on the Bengals -180, I do feel good about Cincinnati winning this game for all the reasons you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Miami playing 90 plays on defense, then having to turn around and play on Thursday night on the road. That's a tough spot for the road team anyway on Thursday night. After surviving 90 plays and getting a big win, that's a really quick turnaround. Plus, Tua, we don't know if he's going to play. McDaniels was non-committal. The idea that he hurt his ankle or his back, I mean, the guy slammed his head against the ground. Then they're going to say it's an ankle injury. That was very shady. So who knows if he plays? Who knows if he's 100%? Everything points me to Cincinnati here. Just not crazy about laying the 3.5. So I'll just swallow a bigger money line.
Well, it's come up to 4 here in a number of spots, at least where we are in Nevada. If there's anything for me, I mean, looking at an under 47, all the reasons you just laid out on the Tua side. And I don't know about you, and I know you watched that Cincinnati Jets game pretty closely, Will. Are you really sold on the Cincinnati offensive line being completely cohesive? Because I'm certainly not after last week.
No, and offensive lines take time. You know, it's one of those things where maybe it pays dividends down the road, but it's a continuity issue, and Burrow's just, man, he's taking a lot of hits. You got to worry here if he's going to be able to hold up the whole season with all the hits he's taking.
That thing opened 48. Yeah. We're down to 47 pretty much market-wide there for Thursday night Miami and Cincinnati. Will Hill, always great to have you on the show, man. That's a great Tuesday tradition for us, so we always appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
All right, good to see you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. At not the Will Hill. We'll see if Judge hits his 61st tonight. I know Will, unfortunately, you know, if you're in New York media, you have to be on Judge Watch now at all times.
I think everybody is.
Yeah, well, at a certain point, I'm like, all right, come on.
The cut-ins, everything.
I know. It'll happen eventually. Yeah. I think Matt Brown, one of our hosts on the network last night, said, how about we just get a position player out there? Just lob him up. Just get it over with.
How about that bet, though, with Pujols to get to 700?
Oh. Two homers in one game to get to 700. Albert Pujols. That was your 30 seconds of Major League Baseball talk for the show. When we come back, hour number two, we'll do a deep dive into some of the top games in the Week 4 NFL card. That is next here on the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.